This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, we need our land to do so much for us, don't we? To feed us, obviously, but we also want the food to be nutrient-rich and affordable. We also need our land to provide a home for wildlife, all of that wildlife that we heard about in the discussion around the local nature recovery strategy that needs somewhere to live. We need it to protect us from flooding, which is becoming increasingly common and much more serious. And if that wasn't enough, we need it to get us out of this climate crisis by locking away huge amounts of carbon. Oh, yes, and let's make it a pleasant place to be too. And the amazing thing is that advocates of regenerative farming say that it will deliver all of the above. Well, if like me you're not a farmer, you might not know that Hertfordshire, well, it's actually quite a hub for regenerative farming, with Rothamsted Research putting it through its paces scientifically, and the annual Groundswell Festival bringing 9,000 people each year to a working farm in North Herts to learn about, discuss and celebrate all aspects of regenerative farming. Well, all that sounds awesome, but what does regenerative farming actually mean? In practice, to farmers right here in Hertfordshire. Well, who better to ask than local farmer Hannah, who farms land near Wellin on the banks of the River Mimram. I started by asking Hannah if she could help us with a definition for regenerative farming, or regen as it's sometimes called.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for having me again. The trouble with regen as a term is there's a danger of boxing in farmers, growers into a very specific corner. And I think that's part of the problem why there's never really been a clear definition. Certainly when we talk about regenerative farming, we are perhaps thinking about soil, minimizing soil disturbance and the ecological systems that tie into that. So I think that is a very crucial part of the definition. What I'd say really is the world of farming is looking back into history, and we are learning from our ancestors 100 plus years ago. And essentially what the modern sort of farming is moving towards, certainly on sort of small to medium scale, is what I'd call good old-fashioned farming, really, and trying to just get back to really understanding what's going on under our feet and doing our utmost to preserve that, encourage that, and use that as a way to build resilience in our crops. So again, I'm probably following the trend of fluffy answers, but I think perhaps there's a reason that regenerative isn't too clearly defined, so that as many people as possible can join onto it and also don't feel boxed in by it as well.
Yeah. And some people might argue that organic farming is kind of where all farming started. And whilst regenerative farming might seem like going back to old-fashioned practices, some people would argue that that's what organic farming is doing as well. What to you is the difference, and why would you do one and not the other? Is one better than the other, or are they just different?
Yes, so with organic, I think the mind immediately jumps to chemical-free, which I think can be quite misleading. There are plenty of heavy metals used. Certainly, I know from viticulture, organic vineyards still need to manage mildew, so they still use things like copper and heavy metals to control the environment that they're working in. So I think organic you have to be very careful with. I think, again, I'm very sort of careful about labelling things too specifically, and I think that's what's happened with organic. Is organic was sort of posted as the polar opposite of conventional, where without going down a rabbit hole, conventional farming is what caused the Green Revolution and has fed the planet since the Second World War. So it was much needed. However, I think where regenerative comes into this is a kind of perhaps a little bit of a middle ground. What we're trying to focus on in this scenario is low inputs, so reducing our fertilizers, reducing chemical usage, it's not necessarily saying these need to disappear overnight. Certainly, if we're going to try and continue feeding everyone, we need to be very careful about how we handle our food systems. But by building up sort of soil resilience and the general health of our plants as a result, hopefully we can reduce the need for fertilizers and other inputs. So I think that's where the sort of world lies, as it were, in terms of organic, conventional and regen.
Okay, so it sounds like regen is a bit of a pragmatic compromise.
I think so, yes. And I think there are lots of people in many sectors who are calling regen farming, you know, the farming that we need for our future. But I think it's really just common sense. I know we've spoken about this and saying that a lot of farmers are nodding and saying, yes, we'd love to get to that point. But the reality is it's not an overnight solution. And so while regen does seem to offer the best of all worlds and is clearly an obvious solution that we should be all running towards, it's not that simple to just change from a conventional system where basically created a system which has been demanded of us by the need of the population to be fed, and not just population here, but over the world, because our grains and products go all over the world. And so you can't then just turn off the switch. It's a very long changeover period. And so while it is a kind of nice middle ground, I suppose, it's also not a silver bullet. So it's kind of a slow process, and that's sort of why I always come back to this point of trying not to create too much of a box of regen, but rather just thinking more holistically about, actually, we're just trying to improve our soils, and we don't necessarily need to say it's regenerative. We're just all doing our bit to make our farms more sustainable and ready for the future.
Yeah. So it sounds there as if you think that we're asking too much from regenerative farming. It's not going to be the silver bullet, like you said. You know, it's not going to solve climate change. It's not going to solve the biodiversity crisis. It's not going to stop flooding and be able to feed everybody affordably. But it might be a step along the way.
Absolutely. I'm a very positive person. So I would like to think that changing our farming systems can move us towards those goals. For example, you know, by trying to create better water retention in our soils, we can reduce runoff, we can reduce panning, we can prevent pollution entering our waterways. So that, you know, I could list 100 things about the importance of soil structure and soil health. I think crucially, and something that we've always come back to in our farming situation, is if we were to continue in the international grain trade, which is what we and most other cereals farmers are in, we would see a significant reduction in yields. And I've spoken to many an expert about this, and the reality is that is what would happen. And no matter what we do to our soil structure, if it's the best soil structure in the world, just because until now those yields have been increased chemically. As much as it would be fantastic to go to back to that natural level, we simply then aren't going to have as much food available. So as long as everyone is prepared for that, then great. And I think that's the thing. We have to be careful. If we think just about our people, our population, and feeding them, we already know that there are X millions, I wouldn't want to put a figure on it, tons, however much of food waste there is coming out of the UK already. So it's about a whole system change. If everyone consumed less and we all just consumed what we needed, then actually, yes, you could argue that yields needn't be as high. We've sort of got into this hamster wheel of needing to produce more almost to so that we can waste more. And so actually, to come back to your question of, are we asking too much or is this a stepping stone? This could be a far greater leap if there was a whole system change, because if we didn't need to produce as much, then actually having those yield drops would make it much easier for farmers to make that decision and say, actually, you know, if everyone's yields dropped, the prices will move with it. On the flip side of that coin, we have to think about the fact that we're still in an international grain trade. So you're asking farmers to grow less, and the farmers over in America or Australia, they don't care. Unless everyone in the world gets on board, they're still producing the same massive yields, and we're just growing less and not being rewarded. So there's lots of other parts that need to move before we ask farmers to make this change, even though actually 99.9% of farmers I speak to want to move this direction. When you're relying on that crop to bring your money in and be a business, it's very difficult to make those steps. So that's a bit of a convoluted way around it. But I think if things were to start falling in place along the line, we could see a huge shift and actually a lot of those goals achieved.
So you've said that you think that most farmers would actually like to be more regenerative, whatever they think about it. So in your own farm now, do you do anything differently with regenerative farming in mind, or things that might be regarded by other people as regenerative?
Absolutely. We run our vineyard regeneratively in the sort of the scope that I mentioned earlier. So we minimise soil disturbance to, well, none at all, actually. And it's excellent as a crop, the vineyard, because it's a permanent crop. And so with it not being an annual crop, but a perennial, we're able to leave it, let clover strips grow around it, try and use nature to its own benefit. So we're also trying to involve more integrated pest management. So for example, we had cutworm in the vineyard. So we're trying to introduce bats into the vineyard and also, for example, mow the grass at night, which is when the cutworm comes out to feed on the buds. So little practices like this, rather than using an insecticide, again, we're kind of skirting on the edge of that kind of organic theory as well. But really all we're trying to do is let nature take its course, but just nudge it in the right direction. And by doing so, we can reduce our inputs and really our impact. Equally, we have been running the Sustainable Farming Incentive across our arable. We're now halfway through this process. And essentially what that's meant is we have drilled a crop and it will sit there for 3 years with the goal to try and encourage soil health. And to actually monitor that, we regularly take soil samples and have a nutrition plan in place. This is nothing unusual. You could speak to nearly any farmer and they'll be doing the same thing. But this is what we're doing. And we're seeing a really interesting development in our soils, especially with it being undisturbed. In addition to this, we also like to just keep on top of the latest scientific discovery and educate ourselves. And as a business, we're currently on a soils course run in association with the Soils Association. And again, this is something that farmers are constantly trying to keep on top of, is what's the latest point of discovery? What can we do next? How can we improve what we're doing? Because at the end of the day, we are a business. We have business interests in what we're growing, but also I think every farmer would want to leave their farm in a better place than the previous generation. So, you know, we're always striving to do that bit better. So through these methods, we're trying to push towards that structural change.
Whenever I learn anything about farming, everything is more complicated than me, a layperson, would think. You're obviously working, as you say, in an international market. It has to work economically. There's mouths to feed. You're looking after the countryside. It's very complicated, isn't it? So just thinking about the economic sense of trying to do things a little bit more regeneratively, sustainably, whichever way you want to look at it, do you feel you get enough economic support from the government? And is there any way that us, the public, can make choices which can help you do what you feel is the best thing for your farm?
I mean, we're always going to call on government for more support. I think the government have, to give them some credit, attempted to do so through the Sustainable Farming Incentive, which does have some options, including soil sampling. So, you know, encouraging looking into our soils, encouraging nutrition plans, encouraging integrated pest management plans, which also all fall part of the Red Tractor accreditation. However, the other impact that the Sustainable Farming Incentive has had is that it's actually, certainly in the initial stages, incentivized people to come out of food production altogether. So I suppose what I'd say to government is regen farming, or whatever we think about the future of farming, but in essence, trying to turn back the clocks and look at how we were farming before the Green Revolution, or before inputs, let's say. We're trying to find this perfect point between food production and the environment. And any farmer will tell you that it's possible to do both, but it's just making sure that government realise that as well. And so support us in doing so. And I know that the latest changes announced at the Oxford Farming Conference to do with the Sustainable Farming Incentive are starting to gear up towards that. The other thing we'd ask as well is that the rest of the chain that I alluded to earlier, it's all very well and good funding or supporting farmers to try and get to a regen or a new point in agriculture. But unless the rest of the chain catches up, if that funding ever stops, the system will collapse because we're still playing in this international market. So then you're basically making farmers reliant on another subsidy, which I know after Brexit and everything, many farmers are trying to just get away from subsidy altogether. So I think that would be my ask.
So Hannah, you've spoken there about perhaps what the government can do as far as subsidies go to helping you farm more sustainably. But how about us, the public? Is there anything that we can do?
I think just remaining engaged with where your food's coming from is very important. And also being careful about social media, what's online, and actually perhaps just trying to talk to your local producers. We may seem like phantom presences floating around the countryside, but we are there. And lots of farmers want to talk about what they're growing and want to engage. So reach out, find out what's being grown around you, learn about why it's being grown in the way it's grown, and really engage, because I think there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of misinformation. And we're at a really opportunistic moment where we can decide actually to move together and move forward in a really positive sense. But certainly always thinking about buying local is a good start, because then at least we can reduce our food miles.
Hannah, it's been really interesting talking to you. It's been great hearing more about the complexity of the situation and the kind of problems that you have to face in your business. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about that today.
Thank you so much.
I was talking there to Hertfordshire farmer Hannah. I thought Hannah made so many good points there. In particular, it seems crazy that most of us could easily identify a tiger, but couldn't identify the crops growing in the fields right here in Hertfordshire, and upon which we rely for our food. And her point about more sustainable farming, not just being about farmers, but about us too, I thought also was sobering. Our food choices and food waste are a crucial part of the whole food system. So what were your thoughts? I'd love to hear them. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Facebook and on X. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.